leadership class is very inspiring to me. It is really making me a better person.
I've learned so much in this class about myself, and I've noticed how you can't change somebody else. You have to change yourself before you can change anything else, and I think Tony.
Be kind to everyone that you meet.
This leadership class that Tony did a great job with leading, it has pushed me to push myself.
Script by Rick. This time, it's season 4, and it's bigger and better than what it's ever been before. We've got old guests returning, we've got new guests coming, we've got no guests, we've got some guests, we've just got some bricks to put on top of bricks to put on top of bricks to put on top of bricks. You get the idea. Listen, enjoy this moment. You come to this podcast because life brought you here. You've attracted it, you deserve it. Yours, so let's get it. So check this out. Okay, so this now. Well, clap again for this guy. Seriously, honestly. All right. So my man said, this is best for me to avoid you. Period. I can't even, because maybe I'm the problem. And the truth is, you are the problem. You're the problem for two reasons. You're the problem because you. Like she said, or what she said far early in the class, you keep avoiding yourself. Like that is one of your main issues. And I'm not saying it because I know you. Had I not known you, I would immediately picked up on that. And you, but you're saying it. You're literally saying it without even us having to guess. You're like, well, I'm just avoiding it, right? I'm not gonna deal with you. I'm not even gonna deal with me. I'm not even gonna deal with the situation. Whatever happens to me, just happens to me. Et cetera, et cetera. Nothing wrong. Well, plenty wrong with that. Nothing wrong with your transparency. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. All right. Here's how you are the problem. Here is the problem. Why are we picking people that ruin our lives? That's the real problem. That's the real problem. That's what I was trying to hold on to. That's the real problem. We're still answering. Like we got to treat people better than they treat you. Far better. Now, you don't get a choice by everyone in your circle. Job, profession, whatever. But when you start picking people that intentionally hold you back, you're the problem. Man. Like, there's nothing. How are you a good leader when you pick people to intentionally make you worse than what you were before you met them?
This is where I found today.
Okay, so he's showing me a picture. It says some people are only attracted to each other because their demons know each other. Wow. That's pretty accurate. All right, go ahead, please. You want to go ahead?
I mean, I can only speak. I think it varies from person to person.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
So, like with me, with experiencing abuse at a very young age, I learned how to function really well in dysfunction.
That's right.
And so, having never really fully dealt with it as an adult. I chose to function best in dysfunction.
Absolutely.
And so when I became, or when I approached, or I was introduced to something that could actually be functional, I crumbled. Because I don't know how to deal with function. I wouldn't know how to deal with leading people that actually wanted to be led.
Right.
That actually added value to the organization.
Right.
That... All I know how to do is lead people that don't know what the hell they're doing.
Right, fair enough. Fair enough. So when you crumble, what did you create? Like, be honest.
I created a bunch of broken pieces that now need to be put together again. But it's hard.
No, it's absolutely hard. But I want you to see something, because my thing was, it's completely your fault because you're choosing people. Right. So yeah, you're absolutely right. When you're in abuse, when you come from abuse, you pick that. This is science. Nature versus nurture. We've been arguing about this. This is going to continue. If you don't know what that argument is, nature made you born a certain way, born with a certain personality type, born with a certain stuff that you're going to probably have a propensity to do when you get older. And then nurture, your environment, your parents, your et cetera, your frame of reference, or personal experiences, right? Your personal experiences have forced you to be something or someone, and now you live that life out. Does that make sense? You come from a drug addicted family, so as an adult, you become a drug addict because, okay, you know, whether it be nature, it's in your genes, or it's nurture, it's all you know. Now this is factual, because men who grow up in single parent homes and their father was absentee or abusive, wind up mistreating women. No matter how much he loves his mom, his model is women don't matter. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Okay. So now I'm glad we said that because hold on, I want her to come back. Oh, I want you guys. When you crumble and you recognize I can't fit in this situation, and I understand this here. In my class ring, in my undergrad, this is the honest to God truth. Graduated from undergrad, I still did not feel. Now, I graduated from a number 54 university in the nation at that time. It's you know, ranks change every day, boy, every year. However, I'm literally buying my class ring, and I still don't feel like I belong. I literally am 2 weeks away from graduation, and I still feel like this wasn't because of where I come from, okay? And so I bought the ring, and I put in my class ring, "You belong, Tony." I had to put that in my ring to remind me. And in truth, if I still had this, and I'm helping people, and I'm leading people, I'm hundreds and thousands of people leading them, but I still have this little war in my head where I don't feel like I belong. Does that make sense? And so it was easy for me to create that situation. As I crumbled, because I was in a situation I was supposed to belong, I crumbled and created circumstances in which, well, let me not say that. So when you crumble in a good situation, what do you actually create? And I'm not talking about instantaneously. You say, "I don't fit here. I can't handle you and your self-esteem. You're too high. I don't belong here. I don't deserve you. I'm not worth it. You're better than me, and I know for sure I'm saying real things that we say in relationships. I'm lucky to have you." Okay? Does this all this sound familiar? I'm lucky to have you. What do we create when we don't feel that we can measure up? What do we create? How do we make that relationship become? See, because you missed it when you said it. You said, "I crumbled." But you didn't say what we actually did. You should say something.
Sometimes you create another person completely opposite of who you truly are just so you fit that profile for person.
Yeah, most certainly. We do that. We definitely do that. And it's all a systematic system of this one thing. When you crumble, as you said, in that situation, what you wind up doing is you wind up staying there just a tad bit longer or long. And you wind up tearing down that situation to what you're comfortable with. That makes sense? Mm-hmm. You wind up tearing that down. You crumble and you say, "I can't deal with this, so let me chip at you until it becomes something I can deal with." Does that make sense? Right? Does that make sense? Can I kind of alluded to it earlier. I can't live up here, so I'm gonna pull you down until it's comfortable. You see this in a lot of churches, okay? And I don't mean to bash a church. You see this in a lot of churches. You see a big church, and the pastor, let's take it out of church. Well, let me keep it in church, because church is such an emotionally charged thing. Because I want to charge your emotions. You see it to where a little pastor in a big church won't stop until that church becomes his size. Have you ever seen this before? Yeah, no, I purposely, yeah. So go ahead, be shocked. We got a shock person. Yeah, I'll say it again. If you put a little man inside of a big organization, that man won't stop until that organization is his size. If you have somebody that has little man-ness, whatever you want, all right, this isn't a professional term, right? But the deal is, if they have issues, they won't stop tearing that organization down until they bring their organization to the level of their self-esteem. So when she said, "I crumbled in that situation," she actually said, and I quote, "And so I'm left with a bunch of broken pieces I have to put back together." But you didn't crumble and then break things.
Well, I gave you like that answer that I should have gave you.
Yeah.
You know.
No, no. Yeah,
you don't say "I crumbled," and so...
I tried to crumble some.
She said, "You don't say you crumble."
I can be that transparent.
Okay, all right, but don't we do that? Mm-hmm. When we're crumbling, don't we crumble the person we're with?
I don't think everybody does, but I think.
But on some level, or it may not. Everybody does it, but it doesn't manifest itself in the same manners. Maybe you don't crumble that person, but you crumble that relationship. That's totally possible. Mm-hmm.
Or you give up on men, or you do something equally dramatic.
Makes sense. Mm-hmm. All that makes sense. And so you do it at the job, right? This is a leadership class. You do it at the job. I can't deal with this. This is, damn, I don't. And then you crumble it. You wind up showing up late.
Yes, Lord.
You don't follow through with things. Come on now, this is true. Yeah. Right? We do this. Because here's how we do it. We go, well, you know what? I'm not going to, they're not going to keep me here anyway. They don't like me anyway. Mm. So you start messing up on purpose, giving half the effort so you can be right about them. Mm. That was in your head. Come on, you got something to say? Let me hear. Okay, it's going to pop out a little bit. You look at her face. She got something to say. She got something to say. Does that make sense? Okay, give me the next word.
Next word is overwhelmed.
Oh, hold on. Actually, okay, overwhelmed. But let's go. I forgot. We were still talking about disappointment. So here's the deal. When you don't pick, at some point, this is your fault, guys. Listen, at some point. Now, I'm not, your job is to treat everybody far better than they treat you. Mm-hmm. Period, point blank. That's your job. You don't get to fix that job. You don't get to change that job. Your job is to be a decent human being. Right. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. We need more decent human beings in the world. You don't get to decide who you're going to be decent to. We decide that, but it's not your right to infringe upon the other people's rights to be happy. You have the right to make people unhappy, but it's not. But you lose that right when you take away my right to be happy. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So yeah, you have certain freedoms to make anybody you want to unhappy, but you never have the freedom to make me unhappy. That's not in the Constitution. We can find this in the Ninth Amendment of the United States Constitution. Innumerable rights. Just because you have the right to steal doesn't give you the right to steal from me. Right. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like you have the right to steal, but you also have the right. I mean, I also have the right for you not to steal from me. Does that make sense? So it's kind of like the law against the law. You had something to say.
Well, being nice to him, does that count for being directly or indirectly?
Okay, well, see, here's the deal. That's a good question. But how? Just if I indirectly mean to you, am I still meaning you?
Yes. Yeah, but if I avoid you and I tell Sierra how nice he truly is and everything's good, but I'm still avoiding you, but I'm telling nice things. Because if I talk to you, it's going to be confrontation.
Yeah. But what you just did was you act like I'm not in the room. Go ahead.
That's something that I experienced tremendously through going through this, being twice as nice, because that was my mechanism. If I couldn't feel you, I was like, okay, it's nice if I just don't walk by her, or if I walk by and pretend I'm getting an envelope and I don't see her. Avoidance is very rude and very mean. And I'm only saying it because this activity, this life-changing thing showed me that by walking by or by charting my course to where I don't come in contact with these people, but the fact that I even had to develop a strategy of how I was going to be twice as nice without being twice as nice to you.
Wow.
That's like, avoidance is like, oh my God, that is just the rudest thing ever. Like Jesus saying, I'm going to go on a cross, but I'm going to skip by Shannon, I'm going to skip by Sierra because I don't want to save them.
Yeah.
You know?
Babe, I'm a Scorpio.
Yeah.
Masters at it.
Yeah. Like, since she brought up. Look, since she brought up Jesus, all right, let's stick there with Jesus. If you're religious, right? Let's stick with Jesus for a second. So yeah, I got everybody has salvation, right? So let's think about avoidance in this way. All of you can have salvation, right? That's kind of the Christian motif, right? All of you can have salvation.
And here you are personally at the pearly gates. And Jesus letting everybody else in. And you keep asking, but since he ain't addressing you, what you start feeling like? He went all around you. You come on in. He looking way past you. No. You come on in. After a while, that avoid. He's not being rude. He's avoiding you. But here's everybody else's benefit. Now let me tell you what. Now that was exaggerated. Now let me take it out of exaggeration. And let's take it out of Christianity, right? So we can keep it pretty neutral. But let's make this powerful. You are mad at me. I'm mad at you. We get. Let me use me and Shannon, okay? Because Shannon can take it. Shannon can take it. You can take it. Me and Shannon are angry with one another. Me and Shannon, we're dating.
Look, that's Jesus button.
Look, right? Look, me and Shannon are dating. Okay, this is a hypothetical situation, right? Me and Shannon are dating, and we get into it, okay? And now we break up. Now, here's the deal. After a while, Oh yeah, you gonna show them a clap? You gonna show them a clap? But check this out. So now Shannon is we're broke up. Now I done grew, or I had enough time to forgive her for whatever she did. But I'm avoiding her. Now I don't have a problem with her. I've gotten over it. I'm okay. I'm happy. But every time she sees me, her armpit sweat. Her mood alters. She's right. She just come on. You know what I'm talking about? Walk in a room and you immediately get this flurry of anger, or you're worried. You get this flush of flight or flight. You said it earlier, right? You get this rush of adrenaline. Now here's the deal. She would never have to go through any of that if I stop avoiding her and include her in my forgiveness. Listen to what I just said. Listen to what I just said. was that church music? Was that Lisa?
Yes.
Okay, Lisa was church music. Okay. No, so that was not trap music. Okay.
No.
Okay, no, trap music. Okay. All right. Okay. Listen. Because I want you to get this here. Avoidance is evil. Because here's the deal. If I don't involve her, include her, in the fact that I've forgiven her, I hold her back. Sometimes it's easier for her to do her own self-development, her own introspection, to go to her own leadership class, to get past a situation, when I help her by saying, you know what, I'm so sorry about that. But if I never give her that, every time she sees me, she's uncomfortable. And if I make her uncomfortable, you go, well, that's not my problem. Here's the deal. She's leaving me and she's walking out from me in uncomfort. And so people who want to bless her are seeing her not happy like she has the right to be. They're seeing her uncomfortable and they're now avoiding her. So now she goes, she does something in her job, but she's doing it uncomfortably and she's angry now. What's wrong with you? Nothing. Come on. You understand? We've had that. What's wrong with you? Nothing. And what happens is, 2 days later, she's still in a funky mood because what I did not, because I avoided her, and I could have stopped her planting all these bad seeds, missing all this bad stuff, all this good stuff, by simply saying, "Hey, I sure apologize." Now, hold on, just give me 1 second. Now, that may not make sense. You may have a rebuttal, but here's the deal. Has anybody that's powerful? And it's powerful because if you've ever been bullied, the only thing people actually want from their bully is to say they were sorry. And you can let your whole life be dictated by your bully. You can dress a certain way because the bully called you fat. And so you can become super duper healthy and a gym rat because a bully calls you fat. And yeah, you're benefiting physically, but on the inside, the real reason that you're working out so much, the real reason that you've let this bullying affect the whole future and path of your life. Why? Because the bully has yet to come back and include you in their growth and say, "I'm sorry." Does that make sense?
Since they're avoiding fixing the situation, you keep doing things that you wouldn't normally do had I stopped avoiding. Now you go ahead.
I see it. I understand where you're coming from. Apologize. I did what I was supposed to do. But are you telling me I should take a chance on myself confronting this person knowing there's a chance this person might throw her negative energy on me?
Okay, fair enough. Do you want your government to take a chance to avoid a nuclear war even though the person that wants to bomb us is mean and won't change?
Honestly, the government's going to do what they want
to
do.
But that's fair enough, but that's not an answer to the question. That's avoidance. Do you want your government to at least attempt not to have World War III and all of us living in caves?
I guess so, yeah.
Okay, pause right there. Hold on. Go ahead. You go ahead. You got something to say. Go ahead.
Forgiveness is not forgiveness if you don't
forgive. Ah, okay.
If you still remember, then they can take you back to that place. Mm-hmm. If you've forgotten it, then as long as it took them to get you to that place, one conversation with them ain't going to take you back there.
Nah. Boom! Glad you said that. What was the point of last class, Peter? Y'all remember? No, but it's okay. You just spoke on it. You just spoke on it. Listen. You can never change. No. Not publicly. Me and you one-on-one, you'd be in trouble, right? But I would never make you look bad in public. Here's the deal. You would never be able to treat, and you asked this question, I told you, I tried to send you an email, but it didn't work. You'll never be able to treat people better than they treat you. Until, did you write it on?
You can never get out of people what you've had to put in them.
Fair enough, but that wasn't it.
The more you treat people better than they treat you, they'll either fall away or you'll surpass them.
Okay, that's another good point.
They'll help.
No, keep going. Hold on.
They'll help you over the wall when you help them.
Okay, keep going.
If you don't want to be remembered, be average.
Okay, man, I said a whole lot. Yeah, keep going. Keep talking loud.
That's all I got, because the challenge is for the rest of 2016 to say this prayer. Oh, my God. What?
Okay, that wasn't the last.
No, that wasn't the last.
That wasn't the last class.
I was about to say, I was
for that one.
What you got written down?
The only way to genuinely be happy is to treat people better than they treat you.
Boom!
If you don't, other people can affect your mood. When someone affects your mood, you start planting bad seeds.
Okay, hold on. I want you now. Are these all your notes from last class?
Yeah.
Okay, I want you to read loudly, clearly. I want you to read what you just said. Start at the number one. What's the main point of last class, period?
The only way to genuinely be happy is to treat people better than they treat you.
Okay, one more time. Now listen, one more time. I want you to read it like you believe it with a clear voice.
The only way to genuinely be happy is to treat people better than they treat you.
Okay, hold on. One more time. Do it again. It seems like I got you repeating stuff, but why am I doing this to you? I've mentored you long enough for you to figure out that you're not believing what you're saying. I can't make you believe what you're saying, but I can plant the seed for you to believe in what you're saying.
The only way to genuinely be happy is to treat people better than they treat you.
Okay. Two things just happened there. Three things just happened there. Not only did you let's pick on her in public, right? It's a good thing, coachable. But I told her to speak loudly and clearly, she didn't do it. Why? Because the genuine way for her was that way. She didn't let me conform her to what I wanted her to do. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I knew you wasn't. Okay? Okay, all right, good. So now I'll repeat it again for note's sake.
The only way to genuinely be happy is to treat people better than they treat you.
Stop right there. The only way to genuinely be happy in life is to genuinely treat people better than they treat you. Now, I probably explained why, so keep reading all your notes.
If you don't, other people can affect your mood.
Okay, that's perfect. If you don't treat people better than they treat you, other people will affect your mood. Now, hold on. Before you disagree, you said this all day long. That's the only thing you said. You haven't said anything else. Have you said anything else? In fact, I'm just going to avoid it because you're not going to change my mood. You're not, right?
I'm happy. If I don't see you, I'm good. So I'm genuinely happy without you crossing my path.
Okay.
And I'd rather to keep it that way. Because once you come into my circle, you should have bring a powerful force of negativity with you. So I don't need that.
You presume.
Oh, no.
Well, okay,
it's documented.
Okay. He's saying history. He's black. You're saying presume. Here's what I want you to catch. I was trying to walk into it, but I'm running out of time. What I want you to catch is at some point, you got to start choosing better people. At some point, here's the deal. I need all. Listen to me. Listen to me, y'all. Hold on. You getting ready to read some more? Listen to me well. It's your fault. Everything's your fault. You can't be a leader blaming other people. You don't get to do that. Okay. Now you pick these people. Now you have to deal with these people. And watch this here. Listen. Since we want to talk from relationship status. Now I know. I did say this. Ooh. I apologize for the realness that's about to come out of my mouth. I never said it in this class, but some of y'all have heard me. Yeah. Listen. You don't get to choose somebody and then grow and then now condemn them because they're not doing what you chose them for. Listen to me. Listen to me well. At your level of self-esteem, when you dated this person, when you picked this person, you picked them, she's safe, he's safe, he's ambitious, she's whatever it is. Like, you picked this person for these reasons, and then you messed around and you start growing and maturing. And now that you need other things that they should rightfully be doing, you're condemning them for not doing what you never picked them for.
But can you leave them? Are you wrong for leaving them?
No. You're not wrong for leaving, but this is. But you don't get to. Hold on. No. You're not getting me off. This is answering her question. You don't get to marry somebody and try to leave them. Like, you know what I'm saying?
No, I mean before you get there.
Fair enough. But I have to answer all the questions. Because I can tell you, yeah, you get to leave them. But at the same time, I got somebody on the park that's like, man, I have to leave my wife right now. No, you don't get to do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't get to. So both the answer is yes and the answer is no, and because it depends on the situation of the person. But what you don't get to do. So let me just answer both of them. So if you're not, there's no kids, there's no, yes. When you realize you're destructive for that person, you should leave. Okay? When you realize that person is destructive for you, you should leave.
That shouldn't matter whether you marry or not.
No, you can't say that because
it matters.
You can't say that because everything's not about you. Okay.
But if you're in a marriage and it's destructive, you should get out.
Or you should change.
You can't get out because they're not being what you married them for.
Exactly, right? You keep avoiding the one thing that I'm trying to get you to say.
You picked them.
The problem starts with you. Okay, but keep that up. But keep that up because it's powerful. Check it out. Okay, me and Shannon, we're married. I done got back with her. We got back with her. I done forgave her. We done had some little babies.
Hallelujah.
And now, we done had triplets.
Gotcha.
We done had triplets, and now here I am teaching a leadership class. I'm teaching leadership class and I'm growing. Now I picked Shannon. Check this out. I picked Shannon because she's ambitious. I picked her because she's a wonderful talker. I picked her because she's a leader. And I like those things about her, and I needed that. I needed someone, watch it, to be ambitious with me. I'm trying to go somewhere. I needed someone to be a leader because where I just came from, I want a leader. Then I needed someone that's a good talker. Okay, that speaks well. I picked it for these reasons. Now, I've achieved everything I wanted to achieve, and I'm ready to go a different place in my life. Okay? Change up. Now, I'm not ambitious. I don't have anything to prove. She's still ambitious. Now, this is. I don't want to go over there. Let's just chill out. I don't want to go out like we used to. I want to stay at home. So now what happens, now this is a real example, okay? Now, she's still the going out, extroverted, let's go to the network mixer, let's go to the club, let's make these connections. Now, I just want to watch Netflix. Does that make sense? And so, but here's the deal. Now, we're drifting apart because she's always gone. I'm always inside, and I feel like she ought to be with me and not with them. Did you see what I just did?
Mm-hmm.
I just made that real, didn't I?
But she died from the triplets.
And she, thank you.
Oh, you got it?
I'm listening.
She brought up, listen, she just brought up a very good point. Maybe Shannon is going out because she's tired from watching the triplets all day long. And she's going out to have her own identity instead of having an identity as a wife, as a mother. But watch this here. I'm not considering that because I picked someone that goes out and I want that.
That's right.
But now I think she ought to be home with these kids.
And you know, now she's just being selfish. Now
she's being selfish.
Come on, baby.
Did you see it? Did you see it? Hold on. Did you see it? Did you see it? Did you see it? First off, I chose her, but now everything wrong with the relationship thus far is not me. It's her. Did you see it?
Yeah.
It's this. I've got it. I've got to justify them. These are facts. She should be home with these kids. She shouldn't be going out. She should be right here with me. But that wasn't how I wanted it at first. That's not what I've evolved to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now I have to condemn her for what I've evolved to. Number one, I gave 3 points. Okay, that's the ambitious side. Okay, I want to be a good talker. I want to speak well. But you talk too much. Can we just sit here? Can we just? Why are you always correcting me? Okay.
Oh.
Why are you? What? Oh, you okay? Okay. Now, look. Now I'm into the. Remember, I wanted a good leader. Now, right? Remember, I wanted a good leader. So now I went to both the talking. Why are your friends always over here? Come on. She wants to talk all the time. So since I don't want to talk, she brings her girlfriends over. So they can talk.
Mm-hmm.
Little book club now. So they can talk, but I got a problem with that. I'm tired. I just came off work. I want to be able to come home. I want to relax. Come on, these are real life, right?
Yeah.
This is real life. Yeah. I want to be able to relax. So I wanted a talker. I wanted someone that would have good communicational skills. Mm-hmm. I wanted someone that has a good livelihood. But now I'm condemning her for being what I chose her to be, right? Since I'm not giving it to her, she has to go get it from somewhere else. She's being faithful. She got a book club.
That's right.
Not a boyfriend.
That's right.
Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Okay, but here it is. Remember, give me a time check. Remember, I wanted a good leader. Why you correct me all the time? Whew. Come on now. I'm not mad. Come on. Why you correcting me? Why you got to always do this here? Why you always got something to say? And so here's what I've effectively done.
I just talk to you without you.
Exactly. Yeah, oh Lord, you in a real place right now. You all right?
She
did. Okay. She's in a real place. Okay. Listen. Here's what just happened. Shannon loves me, and I love Shannon. But now, since I've evolved, okay, I'm condemning her for being who I picked her for. And so your response was just leave. Okay, now I'm answering, it's not always easy to leave because triplets, marriage, I told her for better or for worse. Now, here's how I change Shannon. I don't change Shannon. I change me.
Amen.
You hear what I just said?
Yes.
See, what I do is I realize that I want some new things now. I want to be more at home. So I say, can we stay here? No, but I want to go out. I tell you what, let me go in my pocket. Let's find a babysitter. Let's go out together. Mm-hmm. You see what just happened? Mm-hmm. I didn't say let me take the kids and let's all go out as a family. Although that's good, she's not trying to be wife and mother at the time. Mm-hmm. Okay? She's trying to be Shannon.
That's right.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So let me put in the budget.
Yes.
Babysitter money.
Yes.
And it's triplets now, so it's going to cost $1,333 a night. Okay, so if you listen on this podcast, I will babysit your triplets for $1,333 a night. Call me.
Sir.
Email me
sir.
At info@RevTony.
Okay, time out.
First of all, you're going to respond to the email.
Yeah, you're going to respond. No. That's yeah, we all know. We all know that's far too high. But Tempest knows I ain't the one to be watching no kids. I'm not the right one. But here's the deal. The point is, I don't get to leave Shannon. Like, are you hearing me? I don't get to leave Shannon. It's my fault that I picked her, which is a good fault. I loved it when I picked her, mm-hmm. but now that I've changed, I no longer love who she is. And that's my fault, not hers. Make sense? Mm-hmm. Now, that's almost impossible to disagree with.
Yeah.
Because it's fair. So I don't change Shannon. Mm-mm. I go out with her, and then over time, it's not going to be immediate, but then she starts saying, you know what? You've been going out with me. Let me now do something you want to do. Does that make sense? But he said, right?
That don't happen.
No, it doesn't happen because you haven't given enough time to happen. Change.
What? Eternity?
Well, that's fair enough. You're asking, and again, I don't mean to invalidate you, but sometimes some trees take longer to grow than other trees.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we have to stop being the leaders. We have to stop being the leaders trying to bend the tree. At some point,
this tree has to bend on its own.
Yeah, at some point, the tree too big to bend. Now, here's the deal. Here's what I tell somebody today. I've told you this once before. If it's a coconut tree, I'm not judging the coconut tree for having coconuts. I'm observing the fact that it's coconuts on the tree. I've deduced that this is a coconut tree, period, point blank. I've looked at the seeds, and I said, yes, bam, that's who you are, right? I've said this before. And you go, yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense. I've looked at the harvest. Excuse me. I looked at the fruit. That's what I'm saying. I looked at the fruit, and I'm saying, yes, that's who you are. I'm not judging you. So when you look at the fruit of people, and they're bad, they're not judging them. They're just bad. Good, but also bad. Because here's the problem. Hold on. Before you leave, here's the problem. Okay, go ahead. But you're going to be something important. So you'll get it later. Right? Check this out.
There's a restaurant right there.
Listen. Oh, yeah. You can hear me wait. Listen. You don't get to treat people like trees. Because people are a little bit different. Because sometimes Shannon's harvest hasn't caught up with her seed planting. And so I need to look at Shannon not by the fruit she's producing today, but by the seed she's planting today. Did that make sense? Yeah, go ahead. You can interrupt me right now.
I think it's kind of off, though.
Fair enough. I was going to go, but...
I could wait until after class.
No. Oh, no, go ahead.
Okay, well, in reference to seed planting, because you brought it up.
Yes.
And, I can only speak from where I am, like, with choosing, like, a mate.
Good job.
A person that you're going to be in a relationship with, knowing everything that I know, mm-hmm. trying to make sure I pick them for what I want them to be for the rest of my life.
Right.
If I know seeds that they planted, mm-hmm. and if I see seeds that they're planting now, and it's full of negativity,
mm-hmm.
if I join in with this person in a union,
mm-hmm.
won't I be a part of their reaping of this negative harvest?
Absolutely.
So it's fair to say I can't date you because of what you plant. Is that judgmental?
No, it's not judgmental. It's intelligent. Okay? It's intelligent. Let me free some of you right now. Okay? You have a garden. They have a garden. But you guys are sharing a garden. Mm-hmm. And if me and so here it is. Me and Shannon, we're dating.
Not yet.
She's supporting me. Okay? We ain't married anymore. We dated. We got divorced.
Oh my God.
We got divorced.
But then we got back together. So we dated.
Again.
But now, we got divorced. I got bad credit. Watch this here. Look, I got divorced. I got bad credit.
Oh my God.
Now here's the deal. That's not. I can fix it though. But the problem is, I don't want to fix it. I have terrible spending habits. And I have a gambling problem.
Oh my God.
Okay?
Sorry.
You're now going to reap the harvest of what I'm planting in our relationship.
Okay.
So you're broke, but we can't make ends meet because I keep taking the mortgage money.
Oh my God. Gambling.
And taking it to my bookie. Make sense? Mm-hmm. Or let's see if we can go a little street. I just want to be good. I go to jail. Now we got to get a lawyer. $5,000.
You taking money out of the pot.
Case goes a little longer. He needs another $5,000. We lose our house because we're $10,000 short. Does that make sense? So yes, it's intelligent to look at people and what they're planting and not their heart. Now listen, you don't get to judge people by their harvest. I know you should and I know you want to, but a lot of you are just one page turn away from greatness. Some of you are one opportunity away from greatness, and it's coming. And you've already planted your breakthroughs and your greatness now. It just haven't caught up with you. So I don't get to judge you now because your life isn't working out the way it should. But if I look at you and I see you're planting nothing but good, and you know what I'm saying? And you're doing a wonderful job. That's how I judge you. Not by what you have, by what you're planting. Does that make sense? That's what I said you were gonna miss. Does that make sense? So, all that, and it wasn't off topic, it was a great question. Go ahead. Okay, all of that, give me a time check. All of that goes back to say the one thing. Every now and then, okay, well, mostly now and then, you don't get to choose somebody, evolve, and then condemn them because they're still the same person that you chose. You don't get to choose somebody. Evolve. You change, but now I'm condemning you because you're the same person I chose you for. That's wrong. And it's selfish. And can you read me all those keywords? Because that's the whole thing I want to say all night.
Selfishness. It's anger, selfish.
Angry. Because I'm getting angry.
Invalidation.
Hate.
Avoid.
Which one was that?
Overwhelmed.
Now I'm overwhelmed. I can't deal with you, right? Bad leaders do all these things. And it's more. If it was 30 people in here, we would have got, right, 30-something people, 30-something different keywords, right? Does that make sense? Here's the deal. We don't get to do that, guys. Good leaders do good things, but they do these good things because they're treating people better than they treat themselves. Now, hold on. Because I'm going to tie this into one passage that we read earlier. But read me the point of last class again. I don't mean, now I'm not doing this to make you feel unintelligent. They need to hear it.
The only way to genuinely be happy is to treat people better than they treat you.
So we're going to address now everything you've been saying. The only way for you to genuinely be happy in life is to treat people better than they treat you. And somebody's going, well, that doesn't make sense. Here's what I explained last time. It's the truth. When I don't care about how you treat me, I only care about how I treat you. My happiness is no longer tied into what you're doing to me. It's only tied into what I'm doing to you. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. It makes plenty of sense. When you can no longer affect me, what I'm doing, but even though you're doing it, and I'm like, okay, that's okay, I'm still going to treat you well. That's where my happiness is. Not in what you're doing to me, what I'm doing to you. This is why we treat people far better than what we treat, than what they treat us. When you are only focused on how you treat them, that's where your happiness lies, not in how they treat you. Go ahead, please.
When you treat people better than they treat you, they're more willing to do for you.
Most of them.
Okay, so basically, if I treat my husband twice as better than he treats me, if down the road there's something that I've really been looking for, I've really been wanting for, he's going to reflect on how I've been treating him. And once he reflects on it, he's like, you know what? She's been this. She deserves that.
Outstanding. Now, here's the problem. You're absolutely correct. The problem is somebody here going, but nah. Eternity?
Right? Yeah. Not everybody's the same. It don't work on everybody.
Here's the deal. Now, you're absolutely correct. Give me a high five because you caught it. Right? There we go. Now we connected, right? There we go.
All right. High five.
Okay. No. You can get a high five. Well, I should get what they were talking, right? Here's the deal. All of that, what you just said, is absolutely correct. Let me drive this home. Treat people. Focus on how you treat them. That's where your happiness is. What you do to me should never affect my happiness. What I do to you should always affect my happiness. Easier said than done. But it's possible. Now, but hold on. Because I love that he's done this all class, but this is the truth. That's why I said, he's been on it all day. Oh man, they don't change. 2 + 2, 1 + 3, 0 + 4. It's still 4. It's still 4. I can't deal with it, right? Go ahead.
I completely understand exactly where you're at and exactly what you're saying. Because of the fact that's how I was with my husband. He's not going to change. This, there's no point in having this discussion. I'd rather just avoid the discussion altogether. When I started changing me and how I treat him and stop avoiding certain conversations, stop getting upset when certain things were brought up, just completely, you know, I treated him better. It does not happen overnight. Because they still remember.
Seeds don't grow overnight.
They still remember all of the avoidance. They still remember all of the negativity. They still remember all of the attitude. You just have to fill them with twice as much positivity as you did the negativity, and that positivity will start outweighing that negativity, and they'll start seeing differently. And this has been my entire 14 years with my husband. It's always been like that, which I just realized right now. Because when we started off, it was great. Then it hit a negative spot, and that negative was so massive to a point where it took years of positivity to change that negativity. But in the same process, I changed. And as I changed, it works. It just, you have to make the decision on if you want, if they're worth it. I'm in a position where I don't have a choice. Till death do us part, rich or poor, sickness and health, all of it.
Wonderful job. Wonderful job. Now, everybody's worth it. Even if they're not worth it. You don't have to decide people who's worth it, right? No, you're fine. Here's the deal. Your happiness resides into what you do to people, if that's what you focus on. If you keep letting other people decide if you're going to be happy, that's why you're unhappy. If you keep putting your happiness in the hands of other people, they'll let you down every time. You hear what I just said? Mm-hmm. You keep putting your happiness in the hands of other people, they'll let you down every time. However, now I'm glad. My job is at least just to facilitate a conversation. Let it go everywhere we go. I always draw you back. This ain't got nothing to do with what I read. Or does it? I not only, I'm reading the passage now, surround myself with those who inspire me, but also go places that spark my imagination. Everybody been hearing it? Mm-hmm. Okay. You want to learn how to treat people better? Besides the fact that you need to treat them better? Besides, remember the first one was look up. Something's going to fall into your lap. Right? Yep. Second one was what you just read. Okay, and the third one, whatever. Right? Either way, right? So here's the deal. But that takes too long. That's the way you at, right? Eternity. It takes too long. Man, nah, that ain't gonna change. Four is gonna equal four. How can you possibly treat people bad when you're inspired? This is the problem. Here's your other problem. You can't read that for me one more time. The main point of reread it for me.
The only way to genuinely be happy is to treat people better than they treat you.
How can you do that uninspired? See how this tied this whole thing? This whole class is going in, right? How can you do that uninspired? You're mistreating people because you're uninspired. People are making you unhappy because you're uninspired. And I'm not talking about the inspiration of what you're talking about. I'm saying there's nothing in your life that actually makes you happy. And the stuff that does make you happy, you don't have enough of it. So you're always empty. So that means every time I rub you the wrong way, you have nothing but hatred for me or irritation for me because you're not filled with inspiration. Somebody need to hear what I'm saying. And I'm saying I'm giving you the key to life right now. How can I treat you better? How can I focus? Who feel like I do too much for people? Who feels like that?
At times.
Okay, right? I just, you know, they just never going to change. Who feels like that? How can you be both inspired and feel like that? It can't exist in the same place at the same time. Are you hearing me? Mm-hmm. The only time you can ever be upset with me is when you run out of gratitude for me. Now we're closing, right? The only time you can actually be upset with me is when you forget to be grateful for me. You go, I'm grateful for you, but you're not 100% grateful for me. You got to like 70%. And so it lets you get 30%.
anger, or whatever it is, then that 30% is enough to take away the gratitude. When you open up, when your house is cool, and you open up the door, you go, your grandmother goes, stop, you let all the cold air out. Who had the same grandmother as me? Okay, scientifically, that's not what happens. You don't let cold air out. The molecules are moving too slow. Hot air rushes in. Okay, yes, I'm a daughter, right? Hot air rushes in. So, when you're not grateful for me, and you let that hot anger in, okay, it replaces gratitude. This is why you can love me 70%. If that 30% starts to weigh a whole lot, you ever been mad? You love this person, but you focus on this one issue and you scorch the whole earth. Make sense? Yeah. Here's the deal. Listen. Everybody put your phones on. Everybody pay attention. I don't mean to call anybody out. I just want you to pay attention, but I'm done in a second. Listen. You're not inspired. You're not doing anything that makes you happy. You're not doing anything that sparks your imagination. And the reason you can't be overflowed with joy is because you're not surrounding yourself with people who inspire you, and you're not going places that inspire you. Listen. You guys are suffering because the people around you don't inspire you. And the places you go don't inspire you. The people around you, you're the smartest person, you're whatever it is, you're not inspired with your circle. And then you're not going to the church you want to go to. I didn't mean to do that. You're not going to the club you want to go to. You're not going to the things that you want to do because you're uninspired. Now, how can you be inspired in an uninspired situation with uninspired people living an uninspired life and still think you're going to treat people better than they treat you? You hear what I just said? How can you be uninspired with everything in your life, unhappy with everything in your life, and make others happy? Truth is, it's possible to make other people happy while you're uninspired, but then you run on empty. You have nothing left for you, and you wind up fulfilling everybody else's dreams but yours. Would anybody here follow a leader that hasn't achieved a single one of their dreams? Listen to me, because I'm done. You're uninspired. You don't go anywhere that inspires you. You hate your job, you hate your car, you hate your church, you hate your post office, you hate your friends, you hate your phone, you hate your video game, you hate your TV, you hate everything, and you want to be happy. Here's how you change that. You start surrounding yourself with people that inspire you, and you start going places that inspire you. Now, some of you have rejected me because I'm looking at your faces. And you haven't rejected me because I'm inaccurate. You rejected me for any other reason. It's too simple. I don't want to do that. So here's your challenge.
You got another
one. Okay. So for the rest of this week, I want everybody in here to go somewhere that inspires you. Even if you got to do it by watching a documentary on Netflix. Okay, how you do it? Go somewhere. Visit a church you've never been to before. Visit a home you've never been to before. Go to a museum downtown. I mean, for God's sakes, you live right outside of Houston. There's so many inspirational things in one of the largest cities in the world, let alone America. Make sense? Mm-hmm. Be inspired. You will never listen to me. You will never ever live a happy life uninspired.
There's something inside of you that nobody can take from you, that nothing can ever come against, that nothing can ever stop. You were meant to be great. You were meant to be the most amazing you that has ever lived. Nobody can speak with your voice better than you. You have come here to be amazing, not average, not good, not great, amazing. And then when you reach amazing, you exceed that and you go to spectacular. This is your time. builds your life brick by brick. You are enough. You've been enough. You will always be enough. You can only be nothing but enough. And then more than that, you are the greatest. Build your life. Be it, do it, see it, and then give it back to others. Brick by brick.